Blog Talk Radio.
The Pitch Game.
Jonathan from Australia is here. 60 goddamn people in this chat room.
Phantasmo.
Unbelievable. Switchboards lit up. Well,
it's July 23rd.
And it's July 23rd. 6 months we've been waiting on this Rick Nash deal. And, you know, we talked about all the rumors. Chris Kreider was in rumors. And McDonough was in some rumors. And Hagelin was in some rumors. But I think the one constant was one Brandon Dubinsky. And we bid Brandon a fond farewell today, as he is the key piece in this deal. Along with Artem Anisimov and Tim Erickson and a first-round pick.
Yeah. And we got a third-round pick back.
Yep.
In some ECHL chump that'll never see the light of day. But what's his name? Steve Delisle. But Rangers now have 4 third-round picks in the next draft. So maybe they can trade up that plethora of fourth rounds.
And yes, as Lando just said in the chat room, that third-round pick is actually conditional. I believe if the Rangers make the Eastern Conference Finals next year, that pick is off the books.
Oh,
cup punt. Lando says the cup finals. I thought it was the ECF. But either way, so we're probably not going to get that third pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying now.
We're winning the cup.
I don't know. I don't want to reveal what I think. But I want to play devil's advocate. I don't want to say either way. But there's a lot of Ranger fans, and I would say 95% agree with this trade. 98% think this trade is good. What would you guys say, before we go into this, what would you guys say about, you know, we've been clamoring about keeping youth and developing youth, and we wind up trading a 24-year-old Artem Anisimov, 21-year-old Tim Erickson, and a 26-year-old Brandon Dubinsky. What would you say to that?
Me? What would I say?
Well, what would you say? What does everybody think? I just want to throw it out there. I mean, we've been preaching, you know, let's not trade the youth, and this is a little bit hit to the organization, I think, as far as defensive depth, wouldn't you say, with youngsters coming up?
No. What would I say? I would say,
bye-bye.
Okay.
This is not a trade for...
You're telling me. Youth movement scrap.
No, I'm not saying that at all, but this is not a trade for Phil Esposito at the end of his career. This is not a trade for Marcel Dion. You're getting one of the elite forwards in the league in his just hitting his prime at 28 years old. This isn't a fossil we're bringing back. We're still young. I mean, compared to some of the other guys on the team, yeah, this guy's he's a dinosaur, but he's 28. Come on.
Regardless of his age, and again, I'm doing this, we sat here and we praised Glenn Sather for sticking by and then sticking with the youth. And yeah, we have several other guys that we have are up and coming. But here you have a guy like Artem Anisimov, who is young and still developing at 24. You have Brandon Dubinsky, who's coming off a bet. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. But Brandon Dubinsky,
bye-bye.
I guess that's basically what I'm going to get from you guys in the chat. I mean, there's not too many, and you make a good point that Nash is only 20. I mean, Cash is only 28. Cash is only 28
years old. The contract will run out. He'll be 34. It's a guy in his prime. Maybe they've got two of their top forwards have some of the best hands in the league. I think Nash might be a little better with his hands than Gabrick. I don't think that's a stretch. I'm not worried about, you know, people. The negative Nellies, as you like to call them. Well, he's only had 60-point seasons or whatever. He's never done this and he's never done that. Does anybody know how bad Columbus is? Does anybody know what a bad team that has been? He will shine in New York.
Again.
It was a heist. Glenn Sather rode in like one of those villains with the top hat in those old silent movies, and you can hear the piano playing. And he rode in and he tweaked his mustache and he said, you want Kreider? You want Hagelin? I will give you Dubinsky and I will give you Anisimov and I will give you a guy who's never played in the NHL except for 18 games. And you will take it.
I may be in total agreement with all of you. I'm just saying I'm going for the other side right now because I want to get it all out. I want to hash it all out.
You want to hash it all out?
Yeah, I want to hash it all out because people are also concerned about the amount of money that Mr. Cash will be getting.
Fair, I say.
You say fair.
I say fair to the money.
So you're going to have four players on this team making $6 million plus. Does this mean we're going to have to usher in the Jeff Halpern, Aaron Asham era forever?
Era.
Let me ask you this, and the chat is at large.
Okay.
And some of them are at larger than others. How many years does Gabrick have left on his contract?
Two.
So, okay, so that ain't that bad. Because we can say goodbye to Gabby if need be. All right. Now that I'm done trying to find something wrong with this deal, let me tell you how ecstatic I am. Goodbye, Dubinsky, and your ridiculous contract. Listen, Tortorella said you've been...
Bye-bye.
I didn't see it. Tortorella said he was a pain in the ass when he first took over as a Ranger coach, but he matured. Take your 10 goals, your $4 million, your inconsistent play, go to Columbus.
Bye-bye.
Artem, I love you. You were one of my favorites. But guess what? Under John Tortorella, you were never going to get the minutes you deserve. You went from the first to the fourth line, and your detractor was you were also inconsistent. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tim Erickson. I like Tim Erickson. I didn't love him. I think people who are detractors of him are a little too harsh to say he was soft. I mean, we never really got to see him. But boy, did he get out of behind because he wanted out of Calgary. He gets with the Rangers, and then they sent him to Columbus. So he really got jacked.
Yeah, about that.
He got jacked. Thing I love, and I know everybody's praising Sather for this. I believe it's all Commissioner Gorton. I think Jeff Gorton. I don't even think Sather knows. Listen. Whoever did it, if it's Sather, he hired Gorton. Congratulations, you bamboozled them. You bamboozled them because this is what the Rangers needed. I mean, they still got some holes. There's not a guy on this team who can win a faceoff except for Jeff Halpern, and he'll be on the fourth line. But I think this was a terrific deal. Terrific. The Rangers needed this. When have they had they've never had a bona fide power forward who wasn't concussed out of his mind. I mean, we had Lindros, but he was pretty much done when he got here, if not done. We got Tim Kerr at the end of his career. This is a terrific deal. And the fact that Chris Kreider was untouchable in this deal, as Tortorella revealed on the Michael Kay show, was that Chris Kreider was, you could not even bring his name up. So I got a feeling they were asking for Stepan or Delzato. Me and some other people here feel that Derek Stepan must improve in a lot of areas to warrant that, untouchable thing. One of them is, please improve on faceoffs. And two, show up for the playoffs. That's all I got with Derek. But I think Derek's got the intestinal fortitude to bounce back. It's a little too early to give up on him. So I think the Rangers, they had to give up something, and they gave up really a minimal amount of talent. I mean, if you're another team and you're saying Dubinsky and you're looking at their stats, you're saying, these people must have been crazy. I mean, you know, so it's a big win for the Rangers, a big win, and it addresses a need they need so badly, and that's scoring, power play. Nash played penalty killing under Hitchcock. He probably can help in that regard. The only issue, Jim, and I'll stop my little diatribe here, is can he adjust to play in New York? That's the big question. It's a different, big difference from playing in that former penal colony over there in Columbus, and playing in Madison Square Garden. That is the only thing that needs to be seen.
I think he'll be fine. I think there's enough guys to share the spotlight. You know, he'll be all right. He'll be fine. I know we don't like to make line combos in July, but the thought of Kreider, Richards, and Nash on that first line. Oh boy.
Yes. It looks good. But now I think it's more important for the Rangers to go out and get Shane Doan.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I think you've got to tie this thing.
Go ahead, finish. No, finish.
No, I think to get Doan now would really solidify the top three lines. I mean, I really think so. I mean, you really, as much as I Boyle just annoys the fuck out of me offensively. I mean, he's great defensively. But he's just so annoying. But then if you throw Doan into the mix, you maybe got a third line. Of, and again, we don't like to do the lines here. You may have a third line, and I know people are going to scream when I say Haglund on the third line with Boyle and Pyatt. It's not a bad third line.
Nope.
And then you throw the Rupp, Halpern, Asham line at the fourth line. It's not bad. I mean, so it's going to be interesting how it works out. I would like to see get Doan in here, and I think Rangers getting Nash might be give Doan some initiative to come here.
Our buddy Captain Nine NYR had a great line on Twitter today, or he texted me, and he said this trade wouldn't have been approved on NHL 12. That's what a heist it was. I mean, come on. You know, let's face facts. We all like Artie and we all like Doobie. You know, Tim Erickson's the great unknown and we've heard great things about him, but come on. I mean, and props to whoever's pulling the switches behind the curtain at MSG, be it the Emperor, be it Jeff Gorton, be it Jim Schoenfeld, be it, Adam Graves, props. Because you guys didn't blink. Columbus blinked, and they basically took two average, inconsistent players, maybe one better than average, one average, both inconsistent, and an unknown quantity and a draft pick for an elite forward in the league, a five-time All-Star on a bad, bad, bad team. Did I mention they were a bad team? It's a heist. It's a heist.
Right. And I
think money's a wash.
Mario's right, too. Mario's saying it, and this is the thing I was right on, was they dumped a horrible contract. Dubinsky was not worth $4 million.
Right. And the money's a wash. Dubinsky plus our... I almost said Artisimov. That's so in my brain now. Dubinsky plus Anisimov plus Erickson. You add those three together and take on Nash's salary. it's practically a wash.
And
thank you, Frankie. Nice to see you. And the Emperor Sather team spoke to the media tonight at 5 o'clock. I'll read you guys some quotes as we go along here. But he said, you know, you had Dubinsky making $4 million. And then Artie is up for a new contract at the end of this season. So he was going to want to raise. So it's a heist. I don't care what anybody says. It's a heist. I wish we had a piano player in the studio.
Restricted agents.
Thank you. He is highly related. Cutter, nobody cares about Tim Kerr.
Bartissimo.
Yeah, I think it's a great trade. It's a great trade. I mean, my only thing is my only worry. And I really shouldn't be worried about it because the Rangers really didn't give. And props goes to the, again, whoever's pulling the freaking, you know, was behind the curtain there. As I'm so hesitant to say Glenn Sather. But okay. Props to Glenn Sather for not buckling at the trading deadline when they probably wanted Stepan or the immortal Michael Delzato. For some reason, Ranger fans think he's become like untouchable. I mean, you know, and I'll address that later. I mean, you know. I understand. I saw some good things from him, but he had awful playoff. You know, Tortorello covered up for him. They had an awful couple of games. He wasn't very good in the playoffs. And why everybody was breathing sighs and relief that Michael Delzato. But certainly, Michael Delzato has more upside than any of the two guys they got rid of. So that was well played by the Rangers.
Yeah.
So that's that.
It's an exciting day. We have 84 people in this chat room. 84.
Wow.
Have we ever had 100 people in the chat room? Had that? Everybody get out. Everybody that's on Twitter, get out on Twitter and retweet my tweets about the show. Let's see if we can get this chat room up to 100 people tonight. I've been tweeting about the show ever since we went on the air. So get out there and retweet us. See if we can get this chat room to 100 people.
The only person I feel bad for is Bella Bell and all those fans. But other than that, I got over it real quick.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll get the match.
You root for the name on the front of the sweater, not the back. That's what's more important.
Right. I'm ready. I'm able. And I'm willing to rock and roll all night if we have to.
Yeah, and I know I'm a little higher on Delzato than most. I'm glad he's still here. I really am. I'm glad he's still here. I'm glad he's sticking around. I think he's still got a lot of upside. So, and Adam just made a good point in the chat room. So Mario said the same thing. You know, I liked AA, didn't love him. Let me ask you a quick question. I know you guys have been waiting on the phones, but we'll get to you in just one more minute. And I'll throw this question out to you, Eddie, and to the chat room. You guys can discuss it. 2 years, I guess, 2 years ago, and then a little bit last season, you had Callahan. You had the gas line with Callahan and Dubinsky and Artie, and they played well together. And you know, those guys came up through the Wolfpack together. And now two of those guys are gone, and Callahan's the only one left. Do you think Callahan's affected by that at all?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think he's just, you know, let's face it, this guy is in a class by himself. He's playing for Ryan Callahan and the sweater. Just like you said, he's playing for the sweater.
Okay.
But it also, it shows you that the Rennie guys, he's the last one, really, of the Rennie guys. So it's kind of an ushering out. And I think with Anisimov, it was a lot of his confidence problem. And that's going to be a hindrance to him in his career, his confidence. And, I think Tortorella was on board with all of it. You know, he's excited to have Nash. I heard him on the Michael Kay show. He didn't really talk about Artie. He talked a little about Prust. He said that Prust would be missed in the room, but he says that Montreal may have offered him some things that they're not really sincere about. He kind of warned him not to sign with them, you know, at least not think that they were going to come through on some things. But You know, they paid him a lot of money, and that's what happened. He says when you have a good team, and you know, you're going to lose players along the way. So, but he was very happy about the trade. And they tried to get names out of him to try to figure out who was the, you know, who they were asking for initially. But he really said that Kreider was never, like you said, was an untouchable. And they didn't have to give up Haglund. They didn't have to give up, you know, some of the other guys. Again, like I said, Delzato, Stepan. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a whole new. It's going to kind of be a new look Rangers, really. This, we've got a. It's a lot of the older guys. Like Dubinsky has been with the team like 8 years, and he's become kind of a familiar face with this team.
Yeah.
So. Right. Okay, let's go to the phone.
All right. 88 in the chat room.
Yeah.
Wow. Jep. All right.
Jep.
Who's holding the longest? I think this is Adam from Chicago. Adam, what's going on, buddy?
Just another quiet day in Rangerland, right?
You got it. Nothing going on. Thank God you guys are here to give us something to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, four words that I don't think anybody's mentioned yet. We don't want you. Not
well,
judging by this reaction.
There was a joke going around. I made a joke on Twitter right after that game that the fans were chanting that, and the Rangers were, you know, got into one of those scoring funks, and I tweeted something to the effect of, we don't want you, or we were kidding, or something like that. And I tweeted that again today. We don't want you. We were kidding.
Yeah.
So
Adam,
so let's hope we don't hear it again in the garden. Hopefully,
yeah,
that's
right.
The one and only time we ever hear it.
So Adam, were you excited when it first was announced? Were you worried? How did it go down for you?
Okay, well, I was at work and just come back from my lunch break, so I had to kind of sneak a really small Facebook window on my computer. I didn't need my boss or my boss's boss walking by me because, you know, everything was blowing up with notifications and whatnot. But I said, I got to find out about this. So the first thing I heard from Darren Dreger was that there were five pieces, and I'm thinking, okay, if it's that many pieces, it's probably not anybody too tremendous. And when I heard Dubinsky, Erickson, and a first, I'm thinking, okay. Wow, this could be pretty good. And then when I heard the last piece was Anisimov, I'm like, this is a heist. This is a heist. This is an absolute steal. I mean, with no question about it. I didn't think – it just goes to show that Sather knows how to play poker. He let Housen just basically dig his own grave. He did it to Bob Gainey, and he did it to this guy also. So we got to say it. Kudos to Glenn Sather.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's also, you can wait a guy out when you have the money to spend and can spend it, you know. But, yeah, he certainly did that, and this is a fantastic trade. And just as when you mentioned Erickson there, Tortorella said that he did not see the potential in Erickson when he was up.
Hmm.
He didn't
interesting.
See what other people were saying. He was seeing. So you got to go with the coach on this one. Also, just why I'm on this Tortorella riff, he also said he still hasn't forgotten about the Devils series. He's still mad about it. He's still thinking about Game 6 when it was 2-2 and Richards is stoned by Brodeur. That if the Rangers score there, they probably would have won 6. And then he says, I think we would have won Game 7. He said that Brodeur played a lot better than he thought he was going to play. And he said he didn't watch 1 minute of the Stanley Cup Finals because he didn't care. Which is basically my stance.
Yeah. So he felt exactly like I felt, like you felt.
Yeah.
I might have watched 10 minutes of the Finals.
That's me, too. If I wasn't in New York City visiting my girlfriend, there's no way I would have watched 1 minute of the Finals. I basically watched it because I had to. Just truth telling. What can I tell you?
So everybody's happy. You're happy.
Yeah, but here's the big point. Here's the big thing for me. For the first time since, I'll honestly say Game 5, because the truth is for Game 6, I was in a total funk against New Jersey. I just felt, I don't want to say numb, but I just had a sick feeling in my gut that it was over. But this is like the first day that I have felt excited about hockey and the upcoming season since Game 5. So I think that's pretty much the best way I can sum it up.
Well, I can't wait for October to get here.
Or November, depending if there's a lockout.
Don't even talk like that. You banned this? There'll be no reality-based conversation here about the lockout. Please.
No reality-based.
It'll start on time.
Thank you, Paulie.
Okay, Rock, I'm biting my tongue.
I have a very my opinion on the lockout is going to be very unpopular with most people.
Oh, I know where you're going, probably.
Did you get that from Francesa?
No, I'm all right with them being locked out till right before Thanksgiving.
Okay, Titans over the Buccaneers. They stay in the wild card hunt. Chris Johnson had.
You got to stay in the wild card hunt. That's what it's all about. Tell them, Mike. I'm all right with them locked. If they got to lock out and they don't come back till Thanksgiving, I'm all right with that. Season's too goddamn long anyway.
I'm fine with that.
That too. And then they don't have to go on a ridiculous road trip while they fix the penalty box and get the clock in line for phase two.
No. I want that hockey.
I know. But 8 months of regular season to play 2 months of playoffs, I don't need it. I'm good. Start in November. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
I'm waiting for 10 months of hockey for years. I want my full 10 months. If they lock out, Gabrick can come back healthy.
But if the season, Gabrick could come back healthy, our goaltender will have less wear and tear on him. He might only have to play a 50-game regular season. They'll be
hopefully Michael Fowler will be spotted somewhere.
Not worried about it. If they lock out, they lock out. It'll be fine.
$4 million,
exactly. But they will be back by Thanksgiving because part of the TV deal is this big thing they got on Black Friday now that NBC has. So if they lock out, it'll be for like 6 weeks, and they'll be back by Thanksgiving.
Don't you think it's a blemish on I don't want to get into this talk on such an occasion, but I don't want hockey to be another blemish where everybody's greedy and all this and that. I don't like that. I want this sport to be the only sport where it seems like they freaking care about the game more than the money. Even though I know that's unrealistic, but still.
Are you forgetting that this sport canceled an entire season 8 years ago?
I know, and I don't want to go back to that.
That's not going to happen again. Now they had no TV deal then.
All right.
They came out of the lockout. They were on the Outdoor Life Network. Daddy, thank you, Joe.
Yeah,
thank you, Paulie. I mean, now they're on NBC. It's a big deal. Thank you, Paulie. It'll be fun. I'm not even sure that there's going to be a lockout. I'm just saying that it's the hot rumor. Let's not talk about that. Today, this is about Nash.
Welcome to Nashville.
Welcome to Nashville. You got it. All right, Adam. We're going to get some other calls. You want to listen on hold, or are you on the computer tonight?
Yeah, sounds good. Leave me on hold tonight.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right. Let's see. Who's holding the longest? Costa.
Yeah, what's up? happy, joy.
You liking it? I'm liking it.
I'm a happy camper. I'm very, very happy.
Now we got some goal scoring, more goal scoring. Power forward. Gotta get in front of people. Got some moves.
He can score 40 goals.
Sure he can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He scored 40 goals one time.
Maybe once or twice. Yeah, I mean, 30 goals. You know, Jim raised a good point. I mean, you know, he did this with Columbus. I mean, not like they had, like, a hell of a lot of talent over there. You know, I think the guy's smart nose. I think he's not, you know, he's not a lollygag. He certainly didn't want, like, you know, if they would have landed, which, of course, is not equal to his talent, but if we have gotten an Alexander Semin or something like that, you know, that would, that's not the direction you want to go. This guy is a tough guy. He's played well in international hockey. He's a good, I think, a good guy. It's going to be a Torts type of guy. Let's hope so.
By the way, I just got a message on Twitter from our buddy Nick from Bayside, Nick Gambarian. I can't believe after all these months, that's all it took to get Nash. I can't wait for him to go around Shea Weber and score on Brizaster. Love it.
Who do you think makes the varsity out of camp this year?
My pick?
Yeah?
J.T. Miller.
Really?
Well, they need a center iceman. I mean, the guy can play center. He can win faceoffs. I'd like to see him make it. I'd like to see him make it. I don't know where they're going to put him. I mean, they got a lot of guys floating around that are, you know, third and fourth lines. I don't know. I'm going to have to get used to it. I'm going to have to see it. Because until I actually see it on the ice and how it's developing, you know, they got a lot. You know, they didn't part with Christian Thomas. They didn't part with any of those prospects, you know, that we've been hearing a lot about forward-wise. I mean, I think it's a good deal. I don't know. We'll see. But I really think J.T. Miller is going to get shot. My opinion.
Costa, are you in the Batmobile or something? Picking up a lot of background noise.
Is Shane Doan's a free agent, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
They got enough money to get him.
How much money do you think it takes to get him?
Don't worry. Me a bag of shells. We got enough. We got enough escarole. I don't know. I'd say 4 to 5.
Yeah. I think we're gonna get locked out for a short time.
Hey, you think that?
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, you know, I'm gonna be disappointed if they get locked out because I don't want to see them have that blemish. You know what I'm saying, my brother?
Yeah.
So I join you in your excitement, and now we got something to talk about. My problem is, will this guy be able to play in the big market?
Yes.
He will.
Absolutely.
The Ranger eye will be on him. I mean, he has 2 goals in the preseason. Oh, God, he can't adjust. He's unable to adjust to the big stage.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Dubinsky's got 8 goals in the first 12 games.
Anybody see Dubinsky get 2 goals against the Islanders the other night? Oh, we couldn't wait to get rid of him.
You made the all-rookie team, Tim Erickson?
All right, Costa, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I didn't have it. There it is.
Bye-bye.
Moving right along. Rock, what's going on?
What's up, boys? How you doing tonight?
Thanks for holding.
No problem. I'm basking in the Rick Nash glow right now. You know, I'm 2 for 2 now because I've been calling for Nash since January. So between him and Brad Richards, I think we're going to be pretty good up front. So I'm very excited right now. I don't know if I'm more excited today or when they got rid of Roosevelt. So I'm very happy right now.
That was a good day.
Yeah.
And one of our best shows ever.
Absolutely. No doubt. Absolutely. That was one of the best. You know, it's funny because, Jimmy, you and I were exchanging Twitters a couple of nights ago, and I was saying about, you know, you saying that there's nothing really to talk about, and I mentioned that you guys used to do theme shows, I know, like 3 years ago, And this has to rank up there. I mean, if you do a theme show about trades or just say the trades in general, this has to rank up there as one of the biggest heights of Saban's career. I guess he's making up for a few things. I think he's making up for the fleecing he got from the Rangers with Edmonton. And secondly, from Columbus' perspective, I think he's making up for that Nick Sheridan trade, because this one is a huge head-scratcher to not have to give up really anyone that played a vital role in the Rangers' three series. I mean, Dubinsky played well in Ottawa. I mean, I watched Game 7 again, and I thought he played well. He had a great play on that Girardi goal, which put them up 2-0. He had his moments, but, you know, they didn't need him against Washington to win that series. He didn't really play against the Devils, and Eastimov was basically invisible, I would say, throughout the playoffs. He had his moments, obviously. But to make this trade is to not have to give up anybody that played any form of a factor in this year's playoffs, to me, is amazing. I don't know how he does it. I mean, he never ceases to amaze me with his trades. And, you know, you got to – when I was with you guys, I mean, they came out in drips and drabs. I mean, the report, it was amazing that these reports came out as slow as they did. But, I mean, you got to be happy with this trade. I mean, you lost some heart, you know, with Dubinsky. I mean, you can't ever question Dubinsky's effort. I mean, it was mostly there every night. I mean, he hit, he banged, he showed emotion. He just wasn't a talented player. And I know we've all discussed this for years now that you guys are doing the show. We never knew what he was. Was he a goal scorer? Was he a playmaker? You know, he was a $4 million question mark. And you can't have that on a championship team. You kind of have to clarify what guys' roles are. Otherwise, you know, you're just kind of mishmashing people together. And I think he'll do well in Columbus. I mean, there's not a lot of pressure there, you know. I made a comment, he'll have 8 goals by December 1st, and he'll finish the season with 12.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way he plays. He gives a lot of effort.
And hopefully he'll he can find the hatred for Detroit that he had for the Flyers, and those will be the games he, you know. Well, and he'll be in the West Conference again, so he'll get to play against Richards.
Yes. So. Boy, that's great. He'll miss Supan, though, I'm sure. you know, this is a great day, and I'm sure we'll dive into the line combinations and, you know, is the team better? I mean, they lost a lot of guys, and if you go on the
Eddie
website and you...
Eddie can't wait to get into the line combinations.
Oh, sure.
He's got a chalkboard in front of his desk right now that he's drawing up.
Well, I thought we were going to start, you know, when I thought the show was going to be Wednesday night, I thought you guys were going to open up with Casey Wellman being traded, because we were cold clamoring for him.
I'm actually annoyed about that, but we're going to talk about it tonight.
Yeah, we can dive into that next time on the show to talk about. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rock.
What were you saying?
Rock, I said you're annoyed that he's a Florida Panther, Casey Wellman.
No, I'm just I'm annoyed that they got rid of Wellman and Christensen. At these two guys who were NHL players, and all they got to show for it is a fifth-round pick and a seventh-round pick.
Oh.
I mean, Wellman never got a shot. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me that a guy that scored 25, 30 goals in the AHL, you know, another guy they're casting off who's put up numbers in the AHL, you know, up until today, are we that good that we could just throw away 20 goal scorers? I guess now we are.
Well,
we have no place for 20 goal scorers. I got no time to waste on them. We nothing but 30 and 40 goal scorers now, baby. I got no time to waste on 25 goal men.
Well, I think, just a quick little aside. I think there's a severe disconnect between the big club and the minor leagues. I think there's a lack of communication, a lack of evaluation, like saying, listen, we have this kid in the minors, whether it be Jam or whether it be Casey Wellman that can do some things offensively. Why don't you give him a look? I don't think that ever takes place, or it's done very minimally. And I think that's why there's a whole big shakeup going on there. Let me ask you this, Rock. And,
sure.
How do you feel what I mentioned before about, do you think this makes getting Doan more important, or does it it really doesn't matter.
I think Doan would basically put them over the top. I mean, I think they can be competitive. Now, obviously, with Gabbert being out till November, I mean, you're losing something there. That being said, you're getting a full season of Kreider. I think if they get Doan, that makes them, I mean, the favorite to win the cup. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been watching the NHL Network. They replayed that Phoenix game where the Rangers scored with 0.01 second left on the clock on the NHL Network. And I really watched two guys. I watched Doan and I watched Taylor Pyatt specifically because, you know, of all the rumors that have been floating around, especially with Doan. He's a beast. I mean, he is 35 years old. I mean, let's be fair. And when people were throwing his name out there, you know, I was a little bit reluctant to say, you know, oh, yeah, let's just, you know, throw whatever we need to throw at him to bring him in here because he is 35. You know, he's played in the Western Conference. He hasn't played the rigors, you know, of an Eastern Conference battle or Atlantic Division battle between Pittsburgh and Philly and the Islanders and the Devils. He's a horse. I mean, I think the least amount of games he's played was his rookie season. That I think he played 60. I mean, he's consistently putting up 20 goals. I'm just very reluctant giving a huge contract to a 35-year-old player. I mean, we've seen this in the past where guys just fall off out of nowhere. And we saw with Brendan Shanahan, he had that great first year, and then the second year, he looked weathered. He looked beaten up. I mean, he just fell apart. So, I mean, now that they've got Nash, now that Nash is in the fold, if they bring Doan in, I'll be ecstatic. I watched him play. The man is a beast. I mean, I can't say enough about him. I mean, he's in everyone's face. He's an absolute monster. If they're able to bring him in now with Nash already in the fold, I mean, to me, that makes the Rangers a bona fide. I mean, to me, they're the team to beat. Now they got three solid lines. I mean, with their defensive depth that they have, I mean, I still think they need another veteran defenseman. I mean, I don't believe Stu Bickles is 6D. I'm sorry, with all due respect to him. He's not there, should not be their sixth defenseman. So,
I think everybody
answer your question yet.
Still too hard on Stu. I think Stu needs to play more.
Agreed.
It wasn't a liability. Like, I wasn't like, oh, crap, Bickles out there, which we've had to deal with a lot of sixth defensemen. We had to deal with a lot of number four defensemen, too, as well. But, I think Doan's importance to the Rangers is the room as well. They lost Prust, who was a big guy in the room. Dubinsky was another guy that Tortorella was talking about, was big in the room. I think he would add a lot of character to that team, along with other guys. And people were talking about Nash mentoring Kreider. I don't really care if he mentors Kreider. I just want him to score. Freak the mentor.
I don't want Nash to come here to be Qui-Gon. Get out there and score. I'll get Kreider a Yoda later.
Yeah, exactly.
Agreed.
Is that what we have coaches for?
Yeah.
Nash is here to put up goals, you know, and that's really plain and simple. I mean, that's really what he's here for, to give the guy the dominant offensive player that this team has been lacking forever. I don't even know if they've ever had this guy, the type of player, like I said, and I've been on record of saying it, that can take the puck from the center ice, from the red line, and skate through two guys and beat the goaltender. The only person I've ever seen do that was Leach. I haven't seen many guys like that. And he's a big body, 6'4", 223 pounds. He's going to go up against all the big boys in the East. To me, he was the ingredient that the Rangers lacked the most, size on the wing. And they added the right guy for what they needed. I can't say anything else. I mean, I think this season, if they do nothing else, it has to be considered a success. My only concern, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, and again, I guess we'll dive into this when everything else dies down, it's a big turnover. I mean, you're talking about a pretty decent turnover in players and some pretty not, I wouldn't say important guys on the ice, but maybe a little bit more important off the ice. Brandon Prust, Fedotenko, you know, Dubinsky had, you know, he's been here a while, Anisimov's been here a while. You got to usher out a lot of guys that have been here for the last 2-3 years who helped build this new culture that the Rangers have developed. I'm just, you know, speaking from a devil's advocate perspective, whether that may hinder them a little bit, or there might be maybe a little bit of a transition period starting into the season. You know, I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, I think as fans, we're worried about, you know, the familiarity of all those guys you mentioned. We all know what they can do, you know, so we're a little bit scared. And it may spill over to a transition, you know, with the Rangers, but they're upgrading in talent. I mean, it's always scary when you go into a situation different. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Aaron Asham, I have to tell you, I know he's ugly. That's about it. I know he's a pest. He's ugly. I don't know if I'm going to embrace him. Jeff Halpern, I don't know if he is going to be a guy. I know he can win faceoffs, but is he a guy that I'm going to be like, is the only thing he can do is win faceoffs? Pyatt, don't know much about. So when you got a lot of guys that we don't really, at least I don't know, you get a little worried. But then when you look at the top, you look at the top six, then if you look at Hagelin as a third liner, and if you get Doan in here, and the defense is just so, I mean, it's daunting. The Rangers defensemen, they didn't, and going back to one of your earlier points, bottom line is Artem Anisimov and Brandon Dubinsky were not the reason the Rangers got 109 points last year. They had minimal
contribution
to that. So to get rid of those two guys and Tim Erickson, to get Rick Nash, you can help them on the power play, which is so ridiculously bad and annoying. And as a guy that can score, it's a steal. Like you said, it's a heist. It's whatever you want to call it. They didn't have to give up guys that were integral in that run last year. So that is, you know, and I see DB's talking about the penalty killing, yeah, but, you know.
Well,
like
both Nash and Halpern both kill penalties, and I believe Taylor Pye kills penalties. I don't know how good they are at that, but, you know.
We can find
guys to kill penalties. I mean, you know, I forgot who made the point, you know, when people were clamoring for Blair Betts and everything else. And you're going to find guys that can kill penalties. I mean, that's, you know, there's a million guys out there that can kill penalties. You still got Boyle and you still got Callahan, and they're two of your best penalty killers. So
right.
You still got two out of your top four best penalty killers. Stefan can kill penalties. Hagelin can kill penalties. You got guys that can kill penalties. It's not the end-all be-all that you traded two guys that can kill penalties. That,
right.
I mean, you got guys that can replace them. So, I mean, that's just stupidity to think that, we lost Dubinsky and Nisimov. Now, who's going to kill penalties? You got guys that can fill in to do that. I mean, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right, Rock, listen, we got to let you go. There's a lot of calls backed up.
No, I got you. I want to leave
you
with this, though. The extra fifth-round pick that they got for Christensen or for Wellman, that's so they can reacquire John Scott at the trading deadline. All right?
Oh, there you go.
Have a great night, boys.
Take it easy, Rock.
Be good. Later.
Bye. All right, there you go. That's what they needed that for. You know, my take on Shane Doan is, you know, before they made the Nash deal, I wasn't that excited about Doan because I didn't want that to be the key addition this summer.
You didn't want him to settle.
Well, yeah, but I just didn't want that. You know, I didn't want to think that we went through this whole offseason, all we had to show for it was Shane Doan. Now that they have Nash, like Rock said, go get Shane Doan, and I think this team's a favorite to win the Cup.
8-1 in Vegas when I was there. Well, you were there.
Yeah, it was 8-1. Nice. I wonder if my brother's there right now. I should have him check and see if the odds got any better today. All right. Let's see. We got a bunch of different numbers I don't recognize. 973-287. You're on Bouchard Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jimmy. It's Daniel. How you guys doing?
Danny, what's going on, buddy? I thought you had your own show tonight.
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Gotcha.
That's tomorrow night. But let me just say this. Mark Messier needs Kleenex. Whenever he talks about former great players in the 94 Cup team, we need Kleenex to wipe our mouths with the saliva coming out after the Nash deal.
No saying.
It's true. I you know, look, Brandon Dubinsky, thank you. Tim Erickson, not enough games, but still, thank you. Artie, I'm going to miss repeating his, I'm going to try to reload the weapon mantra from the Winter Classic against what he did to the Lightning, but Artie, thank you. And Rick Nash, welcome to your new team, and just bury the puck in the net, that's all we ask.
Yes.
I hear you.
Bury that puck in the net. Teach the Devils and the Flyers and the Penguins a lesson they'll never forget.
Amen, brother.
Keep on going. Keep on fighting. Just keep on going.
Keep on trucking.
That's right.
Keep on trucking.
Trucking. I mean, let me tell you something.
Keep on keeping on, brother.
Let me tell you something. You know, nothing against Kreider. We know what he's going to do. We know what Kreider's going to do. We know what Hagelin could probably do. But to bring in someone like Rick Nash to fortify the top two lines, I mean, this is going to be a team that is going to be dangerous for a good couple of years, and I'm excited. I'm very excited. It's going to be awesome.
All right. Yes. I agree.
Indeed.
All right, so listen, we got a lot of phone calls tonight. But
I know. Go ahead. That's fine. But
before I let you go, tell us about this show you're doing. What is it called? Fire Steeds Fire?
Forty Steeds Fire. It's basically an American soccer show. You know, I talk about American soccer, Major League Soccer, the minor leagues as well, the U.S. national team. It's a two-hour show. 1 hour is a national hour, and then the second hour is all in the New York Red Bulls because I cover them for a site called Major League Soccer Talk. And the Red Bulls just got themselves a pretty damn good midfielder that can help with Thierry Henry. His name's Tim Cahill. He's from Australia, but he played for a club called Everton in England. And he's coming over here now. 3-year deal. He's going to make that designated player money, and he's just going to try and give the Red Bulls their first ever league championship. So hopefully this will work out. This has been a crazy day altogether, man. Rick Nash gets traded to the Rangers. For the Red Bulls, Tim Cahill comes over, and the Yankees just get Ichiro, who basically has to go to the other dugout for the first time because they're over in Seattle, the Yankees.
Oh, that's funny. And the Mets called up Matt Harvey.
All
right, Dan, post your
take care, guys. It's a great day to be a Ranger fan.
Take it easy, Dan.
You too.
Bye.
This classifies me as a low-grade moron.
Soccer. 207-698. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
And hey, I hate saying it's my first time calling, but it is.
Yay!
Yeah. I'm the guy.
Steve Francesa will never care. He would just say, "That's good, great."
Well,
we're
Francesca.
Glad you're here, Steve. This is your first time.
Well, I'm one of those guys who never liked Glenn Sather. You've probably read my rants on the, on the site there on Facebook, and my gut tells me that Groton, whatever his name is, probably had a lot more to do with this than anybody's letting on. But it's a good day, so you know I'm just gonna swallow my feelings toward the man, and give him his kudos and have a stogie in his honor and hope he made the right deal.
I like it.
A half a
mea culpa from Steve here, Eddie.
It's not going to happen again, and I will never retreat on what I think of the guy. You know, and the stats back me up. But he did well today, and now I didn't want them to go for Shane Doan. You know, 12 hours ago because I didn't see the need. Now
right.
that you have Nash, now you can go get him. And, you know, you get a guy like Shane Doan. I mean, I would have liked him in 1998.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go and you get that veteran presence with all the kids they got. And like you said before, and maybe get a beefier guy on defense, you know, or get a little bit of meat back there because they really don't have a lot.
Right.
Then you can talk about, the cup and everything else. But, I'm glad Artie's gone.
So you weren't an Artie fan, huh?
No, you know what? He had a great big body that he never used. He had a great big shot that he never shot. Yeah, he has a lot of attributes that he never used. And, you know, if I want to watch that, I could, you know, go back and watch Ranger games from 2000 and watch a whole team with a lot of gifts that nobody ever used. So I like what I see, and like I say, I'll just eat my humble pie a la mode and give Slats his credit for the day, and we'll see what the rest of the summer brings. One other quick thing, and then I'll let you go.
Sure.
Is with the impending work stoppage coming up and with Gabrick out till November, if they're going to go the way they did, I think it was a 94 and 95, I forget that's what year, no, it was 95, where they had the 48-game season.
That was 95.
Yeah, and it looks like that's probably what will happen because everybody's already saying, yeah, it's going to be a shortened season. It might be a blessing in disguise because it might give Gabrick some of the time he needs to get himself together.
Right.
And if it does happen that way, I mean, it won't be great, but it might be good in the sense that everybody can get used to playing with each other, and at least Tortorella, who I think is Sather's greatest hire, it would be nice if everybody could start, you know, injury-free and just everybody on the same page. So if they are going to strike, as long as it doesn't go past December, it might be a good thing, selfishly. And
right.
I don't know what you think about that, but...
No, I agreed with you. I was saying it just before, a few minutes ago, when we were talking to, I forget who we were talking to at the time, but I said I didn't think it would be the worst thing in the world. Eddie disagreed with me, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I got a brother named Eddie who always disagrees with me, so that's all right. All right, man. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, you know, where I do agree with Steve is it's still hard for me to... praise Sather. It's just taken so long. And I just, anytime he speaks, I just have no I don't think he knows what's going on. So if it's Jeff Gorton, who Commissioner Gorton's pulling the strings, if it's Glenn Sather, again, I will also eat my humble pie a la mode.
Right.
On this day. Because it's a really good day for the Rangers, I believe.
Yeah. You know, There were so many mistakes for so long that now that they've had this turnaround and this kind of change in philosophy, we have a hard time buying it. We have a hard time buying that Glenn's behind it, first of all. And then, you know, you kind of, like, we had that story that I read you, the interview with Schoenfeld, you know, that was all that revisionist history in it, that this is the way Glenn always wanted to do things. And we were, you know, when he was standing up there with Drury on one side of him and Scott Gomez on the other, that was part of his let's stick with the youth movement, right? That was him trying to convince everybody. So, you know, I do have a hard time believing that, you know, he's the only one making these decisions and this is the way we have to go. But, you know, for whatever, and look, the organization as a whole, their PR department still blows monkey dick, but the organization as a whole is getting things right these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from Gordy Clark to Jeff Gorton, they're not just pissing things away. Not
right.
Just making rash decisions. And They're making next decisions. Keeping it all within the salary cap and, you know, step for step with other teams making signings, with the Flyers and their Shea Weber thing and the Rangers now getting Nash, and people got to be scratching their heads like, other teams, why couldn't we get Nash for those type of guys?
Right.
But apparently Tortorella was saying everybody, and I mean everybody, was calling about Brandon Dubinsky.
Don't
not stop ringing on Brandon. I don't know why.
The phone was ringing nonstop. I like that. Everybody wants Brandon Dubinsky.
Yeah.
So, we're still knocking on the door for him.
Yeah, trying to knock.
All right, you ready to talk to Chandler?
Yeah, sure. See, he's always kind of mixed with the big free, the big signing. Let's see all the big players coming in. Let's see what happens. How he's feeling.
Chandler, what's going on?
Hey guys, how's it going?
All right. How are you, sir?
Half in the bag, so.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't remember who it was, honestly. Around the trade deadline, somebody actually proposed this deal. The players involved and a first-round pick. I don't remember who it was or whoever it is. I apologize for forgetting. And I said if the Rangers get Rick Nash for that fucking package, they should take it all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. Glenn Sather's a fucking pimp. Are you kidding me? You got a guy who is as talented as anybody in his generation, who could quite possibly be a transcendent player for honestly, two guys that are borderline second-line players and a defenseman whose ceiling is maybe second pair. And they gave us a draft pick as well. So basically, we gave them a first-rounder, which is the end of the first round. So in reality, it's a second-round draft pick, and they gave us a third-rounder. So that's a wash. The money's a wash. This is the most lopsided fucking trade in the history of trades.
Wow.
I mean, wait, because remember last year with Brad Richards, and that's he was going to be terrible, and he was good. Wait, I have to do this. It's horrible. Rick Nash is not going to do anything. This is the worst trade ever. This way he'll do well. no, seriously, I don't understand how Sather pulled this off, man. I mean, I love Brandon Dubinsky. He gave an honest effort every night. He gave 100% every night. But this is not even close in terms of talent going back to Columbus. It's not even close.
No.
It's
like
not
I said
even
earlier,
cool.
Like I said earlier, you couldn't get this trade approved on NHL 12.
No. Are you kidding me? I mean, Brandon is at his ceiling is borderline second-line player. Artie's ceiling is borderline second-line player. You know, Erickson might be a second-pair defenseman at his ceiling. For a fucking stud, a 28-year-old stud in his prime, a true power forward. This is Lufthansa and fucking JFK all over again, man. It's a steal of the fucking thing. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
It. A Goodfellas reference. I love it.
Oh, my. When I saw this in my email, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They said five players. I'm like, okay, who are the other two players? And then I saw they actually sent us a player and the draft. Scott Housen has to be the dumbest man on the face of the earth. He has to be the dumbest man on the face of the earth. He has to be.
Paul Ganey's got him beat.
are you fucking kidding me with this shit? We got Rick Nash basically for nothing. And I like all the players that we gave away. But this is, are you kidding me? Really? This is all we had to give up? For Rick Nash? Really?
Especially that Dubinsky has got that $4.2 million contract. That makes him stupider.
Exactly. Exactly, because Brandon brings character to a room, he brings grit to a room, and that's really all he brings. He brings effort, he brings character, he brings grit. Brandon is a guy that you want to bring in as the complementary piece to a team that's already put together. He's not the guy you trade for a star player. He's not the guy you bring in as the centerpiece of a trade for a star player. He's not. And I, was it Rock or Steve who was just talking about Artie didn't, you know, Artie never used his size. He never used this. Artie, I love Artie. Come on, man. His ceiling is what? Maybe 20 goals, 25 at best? That's his ceiling, really. And we got a guy who's going to, listen, in New York on this team, easily 35 to 40 goals a year. Easy. Easy, because he's not the centerpiece. He's not the guy they have to stop. We have other. We'll have Gavrik. We got Brad Richards. Stepan is going to grow. We're going to have guys who can actually fucking score. Kreider, Hagelin. All Nash has to do is play his game, and he'll get 40, 45 fucking goals. Are you kidding me? This is dude, seriously, greatest trade ever. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm fucking hammered. I'm so happy.
I love it. Awesome. No, I mean, you know, the way you describe it, now I'm super, super excited now. I was excited. This Housen is so dumb. If it's just a salary dump because they can't afford him, and they get a lot, you know, instead of Doobie, they get Christian Thomas and, say, Delzato or Hadley.
Exactly.
Then I can see. But if
he got nothing. He got nothing. And I don't mean to denigrate the players we sent away. Please don't anybody take it that way. But in comparison to Rick Nash, they got nothing. Artie will probably have a really good career in the NHL. Brandon DeBinsky is going to have a really good career in the NHL. We got a guy who could possibly be a Hall of Famer. His talent level says that. His physical skill set says that. I'm not saying that he's there now. I'm saying his physical skill set says that. You give him a team where he can actually flourish, he has no ceiling. And we gave them, honest to God, nothing for him. A first-round pick of a team that went to the conference finals. That's a second-round pick. And you gave us a third-rounder back and a player. How do you have your job? I could do better than that. Seriously, I can. I really can. I could do better than that. I swear to God, I could. I don't know how Seda does it. It's the Jedi mind tricks. I don't know what it is, man. I'm done bagging on Seda. I'm done. GM of the year, GM of the year in perpetuity. All right? Period. He's a pimp. I don't know what else to say.
Well, glad you're happy. I'm happy. The Ranger fans are happy. People are saying you are radio gold in the chat room tonight.
Wow. And I swear to God, somebody proposed this trade before the trading deadline, and I said if Housen took this trade, he would have to be a fucking idiot. And apparently he is. And I don't know who it was. So whoever it was that said that, I apologize for forgetting who you are, but you're a soup player. Because somebody proposed this trade. I kid you not. Somebody proposed this trade, these three players and a pick for Nash. And we all said there's no way Columbus will accept that package. And they did. Are you kidding me?
No. I can't wait for the hot season to start up. That's what I'm with.
Yep. All right, Chandler.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. Another great call, my friend. Take care.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. The always entertaining Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of always entertaining, from Fort Myers Beach, Florida, Frankie, how are you?
Doing good.
Uh-oh. Got a bad connection tonight, Frankie.
The building?
Yeah. Can hardly hear you.
Yeah. Okay.
Why don't you hang up and call back in?
Wow.
Wow what?
Wow.
His connection was bad. Was it up for me? Put the tinfoil hat on. He's annoyed with me now, I think. It sounded like it. I don't know. If he calls back in, I'll put him right back on. Sorry, Charlie.
The News Watch never stops. This is WINS.
Update?
No, I just followed.
Max has a 20.
All right. Frankie's back. Let's try this again. Frankie, are you there?
Yep. And I was the guy that said we would make that trade, and you said the Rangers would never part with Erickson.
Did I say that?
Remember?
I might have, because I know they didn't want to trade him.
I said the Rangers would trade Dubinsky because he wasn't getting any power play time, and they would trade Ansemar because, for some reason, Tortorella keeps on benching him, and he's still a hustling, back-checking, decent player. And I said, Eriksson has no ability to play the right side, and he's not better than Delgado. So I suggested add Christian Thomas or a number one draft choice to the trade and see if Columbus would go for that. And apparently they did.
They did.
So I'm at peace with the world with Sather. I guess he must have read the posts that I put all over the darn place on the New York Post.
Read your letters.
Puck Daddy, the New York Post, and Newsday.
Did you tell us you wrote him a letter?
No, I misspoke.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I think we have four number three draft choices in this coming draft, which is a pretty good draft. We got a number three for Wellman, and we got a number three today. And now I think we have three right-handed defensemen that are 6'5", that are like 21 years old, in Carlisle, that new guy we got today, who was the number two draft choice of Columbus, big, tough, physical guy. And we have Navarro, who's 6'5", and 215, like 225. And we have McElrath. One of those guys might turn out to be a bookaboo. And
right.
With the four number threes that we have, we might be able to package that into a number two draft choice. So we'll have two number twos in the next draft, which is supposed to be a very strong draft.
Okay.
And I was also very happy. I had suggested that the Rangers go after Tanner Glass and Aaron Astrom for like the third year in a row. And left wing that they got from Phoenix, I forgot his name. He's got a brother that was in the Rangers system. He's 6'4", just like Nash. And so they didn't get Tanner Glass, who I wanted them to get, because he had like 250 hits and only 70 minutes in penalties. But I can understand getting Aaron Astrom. I begged for him for 3 or 4 years when he was younger. And he is a right-handed shot, which we need on the team. And he's a tough guy, probably the best middleweight in the league. So I am very pleasantly surprised that things turned out, which I've been begging for all the time. The only problems I have is that Nash had peaked at 40 goals about 3 or 4 years ago, and now he's been going down like every single year from the 40 goals, where he's now at 29. And I'm afraid that if he gets like 25 goals this season, and if Dubinsky and Anisimov each get 20 goals, I think we're going to think that we got screwed. But there's going to be some changes in 2 years anyways, because I think the Boric and Stahl, their contracts come up in 2 years. So, and I don't think we're going to renew Gaborik. He's already 32, and he's going to be 34 in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to renew him either.
Yeah, so I think I like the idea of two guys coming on the team that are 6'4", you know, to play forward. And with the giant we have already, Boyle, who's like 6'7", I think, we got some big forwards. They're physical, and they're not great fighters, the forwards that we have, you know, that are big. But that doesn't matter. They play a decent physical good, and they have a large presence up front. So I'm very, very happy. I haven't been happy with Sather for a long time, and then all of a sudden, like in the last couple of weeks, I don't know. Just a coincidence that some of the things I proposed happened. So just a coincidence. I don't think he reads my posts or anything, or any of his henchmen read it, but I'm glad. And Aaron Astrom, there's one trivia thing I wanted to say about you. There, on YouTube, there's an incident about 10 years ago when Barnaby was playing for the Rangers. You remember Matthew Barnaby, right? Hello?
Yes,
I remember Matthew Barnaby.
Matthew Barnaby was a tough guy in the Rangers, and he played against Montreal. And Montreal had a rookie playing who had only taken two minor penalties, and it was Aaron Astrom. And after the fight, Matthew Barnaby says, "I don't know who this kid is, Aaron Astrom, but he was trying to hurt me." And I think they had a couple of rematches after that. But that's where I sort of like said, who is this guy, Aaron Astrom? And he just he has a lot of power for a guy that's like 195 pounds. He really puts people down. I mean, he's not a grappler like a Prust, and he doesn't fight a lot of fights. But when he gets into a fight, it's usually on the highlight film, and it's usually a punch that knocks the guy down. He's just a great puncher for a guy that's 195 pounds. I think the same thing with that guy, Haley, but I don't think Haley has any scoring skills. He only gets like 15 goals a season in the AHL, although he scored once 30 goals in juniors. But Haley's a pretty tough guy. He scored Bickle a couple of times already, and he's fought some of the big guys in the league, and he's a puncher, and he's not a wrestler like Prust. So I'm very, very happy that we have four number three draft choices that we could probably make into something else next year. I don't know how Christian Thomas fits in on the team because he's 5'9", and I think Tortorella is going away from those 5'9 guys, you know?
Yeah, he certainly doesn't like smaller guys. Yeah, I think it's a great trade, and I think you make a good point with Asham. He'll be able to fight, whereas when he does fight, Cross was more of a grappler, you know, didn't win a lot.
He's a wrestler. Yeah, but when you see Asham in a fight, guys actually cringe when they fight him, unless they're much bigger than him. He can throw him. but he doesn't fight a lot. He's like that Tanner Glass guy. He gets like in 7 or 8 fights a year, and that's it. Whereas, you know, Press goes out there and he wants to fight every time he's on the ice, you know. And I don't know what point that serves, you know. But I'm glad we... two big 6'4 guys. His name is Pyatt, that's it. So Pyatt is 6'4. You know, Nash is 6'4. And Pyatt's got really good speed. And he would look right good opposite Hagelin with the Boyle in the middle. So I think we got some decent subs up front. I don't have to worry about our defense anymore. I think Bickle can get the job done as a, you know, as the defenseman until one of those three guys or the kid we have in college, our number one, is ready. But I think they're going to light the fire under McElrath now with the Nouveau and this other kid that they got today's trade, the 6'5 number two draft choice. I think his name is Delisle or something like that.
And they got out in the minors now to help McElrath when he gets back to the team. Hopefully with some villains in the ring unit. Okay, Frankie. Well, thanks so much, man, for checking in. And listen,
you guys have a nice night, and the team looks good.
Looking good. Take care, Frankie.
Now, if hopefully Nash can go back to his normal levels in the 30s and doesn't continue this regression from 40 to 29, that would be nice. Otherwise, we'll be hearing the end of it. Frank proposed a trade, and he got what he wanted, and now the Rangers suck.
All right, my friend.
I'm prepared for that.
All right, Frankie, take care.
Okay.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Let Frankie get back to the gumball rally or cannonball run, whatever he's involved.
I don't know. I needed a minute there. I'm sorry.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
All right. Let's see. I think we have... is this DB Maven? 845? Oh, he's gone. As soon as I put him on the air, he's gone.
In the land of cotton, old times out, I'm not forgotten.
I think this
away,
is perfect timing. Is this Joe Catroni on the phone?
What's up, boy?
What's up, Joe? Down in Tennessee?
Sorry, I'm jumping in late. So
and he's got a little Dixie for you?
I'm sure you guys aren't talking about the Islanders' move to Brooklyn, but just chiming in real quick. I am a Dubinsky fan. I have been since day one, but Tortorella today on the Michael Kay show said that everybody wanted Dubinsky. And
that's what
Dubinsky,
Eddie was saying.
Right, and everybody, and Dubinsky going the other way is basically like the equivalent of when Ted Leonsis had to take half of Yager's salary back when we gave him Ansem Carter. It's hard to believe. If you were to take Anisimov's salary, Dubinsky's salary, it's almost as much as Nash. The upside on Nash, you know, he's entering his prime. He's almost, he barely has any mileage on him.
Right. No,
and,
that's what we were saying.
And I'm a Dubinsky fan, okay? I love Dubinsky. I think the kid's awesome. He's going to be a good NHL player for the rest of his career. But he doesn't have the potential that Nash has. And like every trade, whoever gets the best player wins the trade. It happened in the Messier trade.
That's what Emil Francis told us.
What's that?
That's what Emil Francis told us. Whoever gets the best player wins the trade.
And we won the trade, absolutely. And, you know, I'm happy because, you know, like I said, the kid has barely even been tested in the playoffs. He's what is he, 27? And if you swap in salaries, I mean, I look at Tim Erickson. We got him for 2 second-rounders. We got a third round coming back. That's like a second round pick coming back to us because Columbus is going to be horrible. So if they finish in the bottom five again, you know, we're basically getting the 62nd, 63rd pick in the draft, which is like it would be almost the equivalent of our second round pick, give or take 8 spots.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't want to be Housen. I never would have wanted to be Housen in this position. I am of the belief that when it's hot, you strike and you be done with it. And I think that he should have done it way back when. Get what you can get. Cut bait. End of story. You move on as a franchise. I mean, he waited for 5 months. For what? For what more? If anything, he might have gotten less.
Oh, yeah. He blinked is what it came down to.
Right. And
he had
so
a staring contest with the master, and he blinked.
That's right. The magician. And... You know, the problem is also the fact that he has to factor in his own job. So, you know, I tell you what, I think a lot of people give too much credit to some of these GMs. They make them sound like they're the next coming of Christ, okay? And I'll tell you what, with some of these GMs, I question a lot of them. In fact, I think, personally, Lamoriello doesn't get blasted nearly as much as he should because he's had half of his career... He did so well. Since the lockout, he should have been blasted for letting Parisi get... he lost his best player. So these GMs, I can't figure it out. And Sather, you can call him what you want, but I tell you, that guy's got a lot of patience. And when you got a lot of other teams and names coming in the mix, like Pittsburgh and Philly and, you know, San Jose and stuff, if what they were saying is true was that they were asking for Skinner from Carolina and Couture from San Jose, and he's got to go to his ownership and say, well, we got Dubinsky, who's a second-line player at best, and Anisimov, who's a second-line player at best, and we got a young kid with potential, and we got their first-round pick, which is going to be pick number 27, hopefully 30th. How do you rationalize that? So,
Anisimov,
there's no loss in this trade. To me, this is a trade that, like, it was like getting Yager for a Carter. It was like a throwaway.
Well, that
I won't go so. I wouldn't even go so far as like Messier for DeBrusque, Rice, and a bag of pucks. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, take yourself out of the equation of being a Rangers fan and think about it. I'd say 98% of the people would say that's all they got.
Oh yeah, no, I said that at the beginning of the show. I think you're right. I think the kicker is that the money that was Housen taking that $4 million contract of Dubinsky, it makes the deal worse for him because it wasn't a salary. He took on more money and he got nothing for the trade.
Right.
Unless Nash wanted out there, wanted out bad, and he had to get some, you know, players to play now.
Right.
It's certainly a...
And we got their third-round pick, which is a very high third-round pick. It's going to be. We all know that. They know that. So, you know, like I said, maybe a 7-8 spot difference between our second rounder and their third. So it's really hard to believe that he waited this long and he lost the staring contest. He blinked.
I claim that there was no staring contest because Glenn was asleep during the whole time.
I tell you, man, boy.
But I will say, you know, it's getting harder and harder to really come down on Sather because he, in the last 3 or 4 years, he's pulled off some of the best deals in hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all know about the Scott Gomez trade. Just dumping that was the biggest score, in the last 5 years. And then to tell us that we're getting their top prospect, who's 22 now and is going to be a minute muncher for the next 8 to 10 years of his career, it's craziness.
Well,
I
don't know.
I swear to God, he has everybody's pictures in his league. I swear to God.
Yeah.
He's got to have some on these guys.
He's got photos. I must have.
I don't know.
All right, Joe.
I'll finish with the, like I tweeted today. Glenn Sather said to Scott Housen, these are not the players you are looking for. He used the Jedi Mind trick on him. Trust me. Anybody order a 61 sweater yet or what?
I guess the Rangers confirmed that he is going to wear number 61. So
that's the beauty. Who's the last Ranger to wear 61?
That has there ever been one?
I think there was a guy named Stu Pitass.
I get it.
All right, fellas. Good talking to you. Enjoy the summer.
All right. You too.
And Eddie.
See you around.
Mazel tov to you. Huh?
Ciao.
See you, bud.
Ciao. Bye. Oh, boy. What a cast. We love you guys. What a great night. Almost 90 people in the chat room, thousands listening worldwide.
It's a fantastic night. We have doctors in here. Dr. Mark is in here. We have people affiliated with the meat industry and Chris the Meat. We've got husband and wife teams in here and the great Jason and Charlene Letch.
Yeah, we've got several couples in here, actually. The Frosty couple, they were listening live. The Letches or Leitch, is that how I forget? Charlene and Jay, they were listening together. Megums and City Hockey Fever, they're listening together in L.A. now that they're cohabitating, as they say.
They are very congratulations.
This show is not just about hockey; it's also about love. It's about bringing people together. How many couples have we brought together? It's a lot. It's quite a few couples we've brought together.
The impending D.D. Maven coast of the crazy Greek marriage.
Tom Ertz has joined us.
Great Tom Ertz.
Tom Ertz is here. Everybody, we appreciate you guys listening. No more phone calls online. We've got 26 minutes left on the clock. If you want to wrap it up, we certainly can. Or if you want to talk about Shea Weber, or if you want to talk about what went down with the Islanders today, we can talk about that.
You know what? You know, the last I left Shea Weber, you know, this summer has been all over the place, visiting many places around this country, meeting with the people. So the last I left the Shea Weber thing is he was signed to an offer sheet.
Correct.
I have no idea what's gone on with him. So fill me in.
That's it. He signed the offer sheet, and the Flyers have until, I believe, next Wednesday to match. The Predators have until Friday, Wednesday to match. Sorry.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this a no-no amongst GMs and teams to try to send an offer sheet? That's good politics, not good faith to try to Robert Barron, another guy from a team that may not have a pick.
Typically, that has been the case, but apparently the Flyers have decided to take another route. This is what they're doing.
So, but
what's ironic is that Ed Snyder, the owner of the Flyers, he's trying to give Weber whatever it is. What is it, a 14-year deal they offered him?
Right, I saw that.
And then he's going to go sit in front of the Players Association and argue for no more of these long-term contracts.
No more of
the big money, you know?
All right, so they're going to give 14 years. What's the barometer, Nashville's barometer? What you're hearing, are they going to match? Do they have the funds to match? Can they do this?
I guess it sounds like, from what I've read, that they're not going to match. But what they might try and do is work out a trade with the Flyers as opposed to taking the 4 first-round draft picks. I can't remember. Somebody else did that a few years ago, but now I can't remember who it was. So that might be something they do. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what that's issue. Now, what went down with the Islanders today?
What's his face? Vishnevsky?
Yes.
Vishnevsky is trying to reverse the Islanders trade.
He said, that's all you have to say. Nobody wants to play. How can you be a fan of that team? They don't want to play. Kirk Muller cried.
You know what I would do? If you're a fan of that team, complain to the social media coordinator.
Oh, she got fired too.
Lubomir Vishnevsky is looking to void his trade with the Islanders. He's filed a grievance through the NHLPA. He claims that his no-trade clause, which he waived when he was dealt from Edmonton to Anaheim in 2010, is still valid. He says it has nothing to do with the Islanders. And if you believe that, as I said in the Silver Fox Club today on Facebook, then you would believe that Eddie and I have been hired by the Rangers to do their pregame show. You want to tell me that this guy looked at that franchise, that building, that owner, that team, and said, I don't want to be traded there, but it's got nothing to do with them? They got cupcakes in the lobby, tattoo parlors.
They got DiPietro handing out hot dogs.
Yeah, 4,000 fans in the stands if there's a giveaway, but it's got nothing to do with the Islanders? Sorry, Charlie.
I find it endlessly hysterical that people do not want to play there. And it was funny because me and the high C were hanging out the other night and we were watching a hockey video from 71 to 75. And there were some early Coliseum shots and I was laughing. Just out loud. That's the same place. Just now that it's all disheveled, it's in shambles, they slap a new coat of paint on it every year and they keep killing that thing out. It's just terrible. And the Islander fans will still defend it to the freaking last. And I thought that was a great pick for them to get fish. I would have liked him on the Rangers. He's a guy with a good slap shot. And the fact that when you said that, he wants to avoid it.
I'm not crazy.
Neither is Mary. Mary's never back in after we got tried to set her and Frankie up.
All right. We have more phone calls on the line.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. We have, I think we have DB Maven back. DB, are you there?
I am here this time.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. How are you?
How are you?
So the world thinks that this is a fleecing, and this doesn't even come close to the real fleecing that took place with Bob Gainey in Montreal.
Yeah, see, I agree. I think that was a bigger fleecing.
That was a total fleecing. You offloaded Gomez and that ridiculous contract. At the time, it was ridiculous. It's not the worst that we've seen so far, but, you know, at that time, it was ridiculous. And you got back McDonough. If you got nothing else, you got McDonough.
Right.
That was a fleecing, okay?
Right.
This, I believe, is actually fair trade value, okay? Now, for it to be fair trade value, all of the players have to live up to their potential. Now, are Anisimov, I'm sorry, are Atesimov and Dubinsky going to live up to their potential? Well, who knows? But most people would look back and say 2009, 10, 10, 11, where you're talking about 50 goals and 100 points between the two of them, you take that. Okay? And Eriksson has, you know, is either going to be a solid second pair D or the potential to be a good puck-moving first pair D. And if he becomes that first pair D, somewhere down the road we could regret moving it. Now, bottom line is, if Nash wins the Cup as a Ranger, nobody gives a shit.
You got that right.
Nobody cares. Okay? I mean, I was one of the people that was very public in not wanting Rick Nash, and I'm not bashful about saying it, because I was afraid of what they were going to give up to get it. But in this deal, it's fair trade value. I'm okay with this deal.
And, you know, that was the funniest part today. I got text messages from three different people when Darren Drager from TSN first put on Twitter that the trade was going down. And basically, his tweet was, Nash trade to Rangers in process, details shortly, okay?
Yep, and nothing else. And you
right.
immediately started to have a heart attack.
Right, and the people that text messages me, and I saw it on Twitter, people were saying, okay, so we're getting Nash, but I am scared shitless right now as to what we're giving up. And Drager left everybody hanging for about a good 20 minutes. And it was pretty funny.
No, I mean,
Everybody was in a panic.
It freaking exploded.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dead. And then it was just a total explosion. It was hysterical.
Right. Yeah, it was funny.
But Nash tag did become one of the lines of the day, I got to tell you.
You like that?
I definitely like that. I know you've been saving that up, but I like that.
Thank you.
But Siri, you know, this really ends up being a fair deal for both teams, I think. And the third round pick is moot, because that pick is going to end up going back to Columbus. It's a conditional pick. If we get to the Stanley Cup Finals, they get it back. So figure that pick doesn't exist.
Right.
And
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, it was a throw-in. And the defenseman, he's ECHL fodder. The bottom line is the guy is destined. Yeah, pretty much. Roll out the cattle call, because if he makes it to the AHL, it's going to be a miracle.
I don't think.
I mean, one of the guys on Twitter basically said, the worst prospect on the worst prospect team in the entire NHL.
Nothing like a
glowing review, huh?
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, that is a glowing review. But I don't know. I mean, if you would throw Stefano Delzato in that, are Ranger fans so excited? I don't think so. There's a lot of people who like Michael Delzato. I mean, the Ranger fandom was, like, very nervous that NDZ would be traded in. I don't know.
Unfortunately, at this point in time, you can't afford to give up the only offensive defenseman you've got. You know, that was why it was really interesting to hear that Sather was heavily in on Weber. Okay? At that point, you've got to figure that he was going Weber, and if he'd gotten him, that makes Delzato expendable, and you send Delzato as part of the package for Nash. Okay? But when that didn't go down, you know, that changed things. I don't think they could afford to give up Delzato. He really is the only legitimate offensive threat. And he's young, and hopefully he's going to get better. He's going to be calmer and more confident with the puck, because right now on the power play when he gets the puck, 90% of the time he just panics. He's like a deer in the headlights. So he's got some room for growth, and it'll be really interesting to see what goes on, whether Nashville's going to match this deal, this offer sheet. I mean, they're literally in between a rock and a hard place. To put that team, I mean, basically you've got a big market owner who also happens to be, you could call it a hell of a collusion with the NHL, because he's got money coming from every which way but loose. He's got the money coming in from the franchise, and he effectively owns Comcast, which owns NBC, which is the TV deal for the entire NHL. What's that?
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I don't know. I just find it really just, I mean, this Snyder character, he's just like, I don't know. Like Jim said, I mean, he's the one with the complete case that the long-term contract filed, you know, it serves its own purposes, he'll do whatever. You know, this shady character, that's all Flyers and Flyer fans are.
There's shady fans all over the place. You know, I hate to characterize a franchise's fan base and say they're all a bunch of X's or Y's or whatever. There's douche fans no matter where you go. You know, that's the bottom line. But this guy is, and for the owners to be sitting there and talking a poor mouth, like it's great. You go back and look at the quotes from a guy like Leopold in Minnesota, crying a poor mouth, and he turns around and dumps $200 million, most of it sunk loaded, on Suter and Parisi. What the hell are you screaming a poor mouth about? Give me a break. These are the deals you want to outlaw, and you're giving one of these deals out. What? Because you expect that the owners are going to win the negotiation and you're going to get a big salary all back? I'm sorry, I don't know. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for Nashville, because for them, they're not a big cash flow franchise. They've developed a hell of a nice little fan base down there. They had a pretty solid team. And if they lose Weber and they don't get anything back, boy, are they hosed. They're just hosed. That fan base has no reason to stay with that team.
There you go.
Just close up shop and sell the franchise, disband them, and open a new one up in Ontario. Let that other group up there have their franchise, and at least they'll make money.
Merge them with the Islanders and move them to Quebec.
Who would merge with the Islanders? Come on.
Well, for the sake of contracting two bad franchises and putting them in a new location.
Nashville's got a good team.
But the way that the deals are structured, it actually is better for them to disband both teams, okay, and then open a new franchise. Because the way it works is the new owner, to move a franchise, has to pay a fee, okay? But the fee is only, I don't know, $20 million or something like that. And if they actually disband both of those teams and open a new franchise, okay, there's something like a $200 million franchise fee. So
true.
All the owners want that.
Yeah, well, that's why we see so many of the teams failing in that expansion thing that Bettman was pushing, you know, back in, you know, the early 90s, and now they're all failing. They all want that money grab for the $200 million. They got plenty of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May I say
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
All right, DB. Listen, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna take. We got two more calls to take before we wrap this up.
No sweat. Leave me on hold.
Will do. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Next up, 914-400. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Mike. What's up, Jimenetti?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, little last time I spoke to you guys was, I think, before game six, unfortunately. So it's been a couple of months. But hope you've had a nice summer with the Vegas trip. So pictures. It was awesome. And hope you're having a good summer.
Oh, you didn't see about 90% of the pictures I took, sir.
Oh, jeez.
Eddie, happened? Have you looked at those pictures yet, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm more worried about what's on Mike's mind.
No, just a couple of things before. I actually had a couple of questions for you guys to ponder. But before I start, I just want to say Nashville Predators, they're pretty much the Oakland Athletics of the NHL. They develop lots of good talent, but they can't keep anything, ever. That's their MO. They have a lot of great young talent, but they always have to trade them away.
Okay, well, all right.
So
what's your reaction? I want your reaction.
I like the net. Overall, I think it was a fair trade. It was good. It sucks seeing Doobie and Artie go, and also, you know, Erickson's going to be a very good player, but, you know, you have to give some kind of value to get something, and for what they could have given up. I mean, I was really worried that, you know, Jesper Foss was going to go the other way or someone like that, or one of the, you know, but it's just one of these dark horse prospects, or Miller, too. And actually, Miller is something I want to bring up with you guys in a couple of seconds, but I think it was a fair trade. I'm going to miss those guys, especially Artie. I really warmed up to him ever since he got drafted, but it is what it is, and, you know, they got more scoring now. It's good.
I agree totally. I was a big fan of Artie, but it just wasn't going to happen in New York. And Tortorella bounces him back and forth. He's got a little bit of a confidence issue. It's just not going to happen here. And like you said at the top, you got to give up something to get something. You can't just, you know, give up garbage. But I'm not like DB who thinks it's a fair. I think the Rangers hosed him. I really think so. If you think about it. I'm not saying it's as bad as the hosing as they got when they got rid of Gomez, because that was the turning point of the whole franchise, because then they got Gavrik with the money that they were using on Gomez. Gomez, one of the worst contracts, and then you get McDonough thrown into the deal. So I'm not going to go that far, but I think they really hosed them in retrospect. All right, so get to JT Miller.
Sorry for interrupting. I have a bad habit of doing that to you guys, but...
We can't see each other. It's a little weird. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just hope Nashville's up to the contract and he's not one of these, you know, I have really scary flashbacks. I was like 5 years old when he was a Ranger, but Bobby Carpenter, I have scary flashbacks to, you know, something like that. Or, you know, these guys they bring in, they give up a lot for it and score like 25 goals. But that's, hopefully we don't have to worry about that. The thing about Miller, though, is that I think there's a little bit of a depth hole right now with the Rangers. I mean, they have these guys like Piatt and Asham and Rupp and Boyle, you know, who are like third and fourth liners. I mean, Boyle, I don't think he's going to hit 20 again. And then they have guys like Nash, like the high-end guys, Nash, Kreider. They're missing like one or two pieces in there. They could go out and sign Shane Doan. But in case they don't, they're going to have a rookie or somebody else fill a spot. And maybe this trade, maybe they had in mind, maybe they think Miller's ready to play third-line center or something like that. Maybe Marek Rivik, they think he's going to come in and score 15 goals. But I think Miller is the one to really kind of keep an eye on. And just, I don't know, do you guys think he's going to be ready? And or just he's the one? And also, in terms of defensemen, I think they need more depth. They got to find another defenseman. Because I'm terrified of Stu Bickel playing important minutes.
Well, I think it was close to the Crazy Greek who said, who do you think is going to make it out of camp? And I thought Miller would be the guy because he's good on faceoffs. I liked what I saw from him last year. He looks like he's the type of player they could really use. So, yeah, I could see that happen. I really like him a lot. I was just going to say that Tortorella was not impressed with Erickson for some reason. He just didn't see the promise that came along with it. So I think this also bodes well for McElrath that, you know, once he gets healthy, that maybe they think he's farther along than he actually is, than we think he is.
That'd be great. I mean, he adds a whole new dynamic to this team. I mean, he's going to look at Henrik Lundqvist the wrong way, and he's going to, you know, punch you right in between and break your nose pretty much. That'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy they would really that would be the final, the icing on the cake for the defenseman. The defense in goaltending is so strong for this team. And now you add a Rick Nash. And you're right, though. The third and fourth line are going to be the final pieces in the puzzle for this team, really, to get two young guys in there. And because Tortorella kind of strays away from the smaller guys, that's why I don't think guys like Christian Thomas and even Ryan Bourque, for these small guys, I just can't see coming in, even though I think they should get a shot. It is an area of concern.
Yeah, they need. I'm just not really. I don't know how you guys, you know, both do, but I'm just not really comfortable with. It's, you know, I mean, it's fine for Richard Stepan, and then from them two to Boyle and Halpern, that's a huge step down.
Yes, and yeah. I'm. Like you, I'm not a Boyle fan. I think he's great to be. But offensively, I mean, when he takes a shot on goal, it looks like a pass. I mean,
yeah.
I think Manson,
he seems to be more of a thinker than I am.
Yeah, pretty much. He's fine for what he does, but you can't. He's, I don't know. You can't.
What does he do?
He kills penalties. He, I guess, eats a minute. Wins some face-offs. I'm trying to. I guess he's firing me as a PR guy, but
yeah. Well, Jim is bringing back my old argument. What does he do? What does he do?
Tell me what he does. Mike, we'll let you go. We're gonna take one more call and wrap this up.
Have a great night, guys, and a great rest of the summer.
Take care.
Okay.
You too. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, one more call and then we're getting out of here.
Okay, brother.
Watch this, Cutter. Cutter, 519.
Hello, Cutter.
Going once.
I don't know what the fuck you people do. Dismissed.
Heard that.
Oh, brother.
Sweet.
Oh, brother.
You know, he messages me all the time. If I call, can I get on? Are you going to have time for me? I got a lot to talk about, he'll tell me. And half the time, how many times I put him on the air and he's not there?
What? Dave makes him think he's suicidal. He's a cutter.
He's a cutter. I was on the line. I could hear them. Cutter, call back. You got 10 seconds to get back on the line. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Going once, going twice. You suck. I blew him up without even being on the line. See? You blew it again.
Well, I thank everybody for showing. I most importantly thank you, Jim, for showing. Big night in Ranger land and big night in Ranger history. Rick Nash from 61.
Definitely... A big night.
Big.
Glenn Sather called it a historic night for the franchise.
Yes. Chandler was. This is the best trade in history.
I wouldn't go that far, but.
Exactly.
Wow, Stranded and AZ shows up timely.
Yeah.
2 minutes before the end of the show. All right, they want us to close with the Doobie Cat.
All right.
Yeah, like Eddie said, thanks to everybody for listening. A lot of people here tonight. Thanks to everybody that called in. And we'll see you guys probably next Wednesday night. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
The Pinsky.